When I was younger, we would go to my grandparents' house, and one of the things that I always enjoyed doing is after we got through all the greetings, I would go into the living room, and there at the bottom of the steps on the wall, my grandfather had two swords that were crossed, and I would pick up that sword and mess with that, you know, while I was there. I thought those swords were the neatest things. One of them was about this long. And it had an H engraved on the handle, and on the blade, it had Higginbotham written out. And probably that's why it was such a long sword. They had etched Higginbotham on the side of it. But it was this big, long sword, and I was so fascinated with it that when my grandfather died in 1983, in his will, he left me that sword. So I've had that sword since then, and when Matthew was just little, he was fascinated with that sword. It has a really neat scabbard, and he was always getting there, pulling the sword out. And so we decided pretty early on, this probably isn't the safest thing. We need to get him a toy. And so we got him a plastic sword. And he chopped everything in the neighborhood. The bricks on the side of the wall, and the plastic had really become ragged and edged. You know, you wouldn't want to rub your finger across it. You would get cut on that. And one day he was standing in my doorway and he was doing all this kung fu stuff, you know, and he swung his sword as hard as he could. And right as he did, his sister came around the corner and he caught her right on the eyelid, on the eyebrow, rather. And it just laid it open. We had to go to the emergency room. And we got to the emergency room, and there we sat. You know, for a long time we sat there. And I'm like, my little girl is hurt. Let's get things moving here. And that's when I was kind of introduced to triage. You know, I understand it. It's a good thing. But it's not good when your little girl has a cut. And so we had to wait for all of that to get processed. There were more important injuries that needed to be taken care of first. And I understand that concept in regard to our health. There are pressing things that have to be treated immediately. Other things can wait. It's not to say they're not important, but they're not as important as some other things. Now, we understand that when it comes to the emergency room. But I don't know that we have caught on to that when it comes to the Bible. I think sometimes we look at everything in Scripture just flat, that it all weighs the same, that it all is the same, and that's just not the case. There are some matters that are weightier than others. A couple weeks ago, we talked about sin, and we talked about how all sin is not the same. God sees a distinction. John 19 and verse 11, Jesus explicitly said, Pilate, those who delivered me to you are guilty of the greater sin. If there's a greater, there's a lesser. Those who had more knowledge were more accountable than was Pilate. They were both wrong, but God saw a distinction in them. And with not only with reference to sin, but with reference to righteousness, there are weightier matters than others. Not that any of them can be ignored or just overlooked, but it is helpful, I believe, to make sure that we major in the right things. You sure wouldn't want to go to an emergency room when you're having a heart attack, only to find out they're going to treat somebody that had a thorn in their finger and needed two stitches. If they did that, they'd be making a mistake. That's not what needs to be done at that time. The more pressing things need the greater attention, the more immediate attention. And that's true with the Word of God. And so if there are some weightier matters in Scripture, tell me what they are so that I put them at the front and not, you know, the caboose. And so that's what I want to share with you this morning. I want to give you two things, and that's just it, two things among others that God says are weightier. And I want you to put those into practice this week. As we go out and try to live like Jesus, I want to give you the challenge to keep these two items in focus because they're more important than some of the other matters which are also important. Let me just illustrate this principle to begin with, and then we'll talk about those two things. But if you have your Bible, open it to Matthew chapter 23, and let's look at verse 23. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and it's that time when Jesus just, you know, skinned them. He really let them have it because of their hypocrisy. He didn't deal with sinners this way, typically, but he did deal with high-handed sinners in this way. People that knew better, there was hypocrisy to what they were, and so Jesus didn't hold back, and he let them have it. And in verse 23, he says, "Woe to you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These ought you have to have done without leaving the others undone." So in this passage, Jesus says, guys, listen, you're tithing. Good. You should be tithing. It's a command of God. But while you're tithing these little seeds, you're neglecting things like mercy, things like faith, things like justice. You can't let those things go undone. He said those are more weighty than the tithing that you're doing. And he said, I'm not telling you to stop tithing. What I'm telling you is to put proper emphasis on these weightier things. That's the principle that I'm talking about. I think we can see it played out also in Leviticus chapter 10. If you have your Bible, flip back there. In the book of Leviticus, there's an interesting story that probably we, many of us are familiar with. In Leviticus chapter 10, Nadab and Abihu, two sons of Aaron, they were priests of God. They went in to offer sacrifice to God and, or to burn incense to God. And you remember what happened, right? Fire came down from heaven and consumed them because they didn't do it right. They offered a strange or unauthorized fire. Look at what it says in chapter 10, verse 1. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. So Nadab and Abihu are doing their thing. They're priests of God. They're coming in and they're going to burn incense. But they took fire from a place where God had not commanded them. They had no authority to do that. God didn't give them permission, but they did it anyway. They did it anyway. And so when they offered this up, it made God mad. He was angry and he sent fire down from heaven and the two of them were burned up. And we have used that, rightfully so, as an illustration of how important it is to only do what we're authorized to do. You know, why don't we baptize babies? There's no authorization to do so. There's no authority in God's word to do so. Why don't we do, you know, and you can just go down the list. Why is it that we do what we do and don't do the things we don't do? It's this principle of authority. We only do what God has authorized us to do. So, but that's the first part of the chapter, and that's usually where we stop. But there's an interesting thing that takes place in the latter part of the chapter. Because after, well, you tell me, what would you be like, moms and dads, if your two children get killed in the same day? Not just killed by accident, but killed by God because of their disobedience. What kind of emotions would be running through your head as you see your children consumed by fire because of their sin? There's not only the loss of your children, but there's the whole spiritual thing you're trying to process. It would be a horrible day. And God tells Aaron, you still have work to do. I don't want you grieving. I want you to go back to work. And so they still had an offering to make, and Moses comes in later that day to make sure that they had done what they were supposed to have done, and they hadn't. The other two sons of Moses or of Aaron had not done what God told them to do with reference to their part of the service. You see, they were to offer this offering, but then they were to take that offering and eat it, and they didn't eat it. And I can see people, you know, look out, here it comes. No fire came from heaven. They weren't consumed. Why? I believe it's because God made a distinction. Listen, I'm not saying that one was right and the other was wrong. They were both wrong. They both violated the will of God. Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire. They sinned. And Eleazar and Ithamar, they were supposed to eat and they didn't eat. They did wrong too. But God treated them differently. There was distinction made. And, you know, if we were to get into, well, why was that distinction made? Why would he punish the ones in the first part but not in the latter part of the chapter? They both were sons. They both were priests. They both did things wrong. Two were consumed. The other two lived to see another day. Well, I think it has something to do probably with their attitudes. I think as soon as Nadab and Abihu are put to death, Moses reminds Aaron of some things about when you serve God, boy, this is some important stuff. We're worshiping God. It's a fearful thing. And he reminds them, and one of the things that he reminds them of is do not come into this assembly, or do not come into this place having been drinking. Why would you say that if that hadn't been maybe one of the issues? And maybe because they were drinking, it blurred their judgment and they grabbed the wrong fire. I don't know the details, but I think it's interesting that he gives that instruction, you do not come in here drunk, right after these two boys are destroyed. So could it have been that Nadab and Abihu had a wrong attitude, came in unprepared to worship God? They had been drinking, and God lets them have it. The other two, well, the reason given in chapter 10, verse 19, Aaron said to Moses, look, this day they've offered their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord, and such things have befallen me. If I had eaten the sin offering today, would it have been accepted in the sight of the Lord? The reason wasn't high-handed rebellion. It was just because he knows you have to have your heart in worship. His heart wouldn't have been in it, and he didn't do it. Now, it was wrong not to do it. But apparently God made a distinction between the high-handed sin of Nadab and Abihu and sins committed under different circumstances by his other two brothers. Okay, if we can understand that principle, let's now come to Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6. And these are the two things that I want you to think about this week and go out and work on and try to do. Because I think in Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, God tells us two of those things that are weightier than other things. He says this in verse 6, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. When he says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, he's not saying that I don't want you to sacrifice. That was his idea. Sacrifices were his idea. They were a good thing. It's a contrast he's making. Rather than sacrifices, I wish you'd show mercy. It's not really an either or, but it's an emphasis. Guys, show mercy. Yeah, do your sacrifices, but show mercy. And it's what Jesus was saying to the Pharisees in Matthew 23. Don't quit tithing, but show mercy and justice and faith. And so he's prioritizing here. And what did he prioritize? Mercy over sacrifice. If I were to say it this way today, because we don't do burnt offerings anymore, but we do worship, I think the decision or the choice that he was making is the Lord would be saying today, if he were to say it to us, he might couch it this way: I desire mercy over going to church. You see, there are people that go to church, but they haven't lived the kind of life and they haven't reflected Jesus very well in their life for the week. They go to worship. They go to make their offering to God, but they haven't lived like Jesus very well through the week. They haven't been a good representative of his. We can't find favor with God and be unkind to our fellow man. We need to major in mercy. It's not only prioritized in this Old Testament passage, but that's the thing that Jesus prioritized in Matthew 23. One of the things is mercy. It's one of the weightier matters of the law. Being kind to people and being compassionate to people and showing mercy to them. God says, make that a part of your life. Major in that. Do we do that? Or do we mind our business and go our way and come to church every week? God said, I'd rather you show mercy than to go to church. I'd rather you show mercy than to make offerings. And that's challenging. I think of Luke chapter 10. You know, the story of the Good Samaritan is outlined there. And I can hear the excuses. You know, there was a priest and a Levite that walked by. There's this man beaten, laying half dead. And they're on their way. And how do priests and Levites walk past a man and not minister to a man who is dying? These are representatives of God. Oh, I can hear the excuses in their own head. Hey, it's my turn in the rotation today. If I don't get to the temple, I'm going to be left out and I won't get a chance again for another 6 months. I've got work to do. I've got to serve God today. If we touch this guy, we'll become undefiled and there we're of no use to God for however long we have to be purified. And I can hear the excuses. What if you were driving to church this morning? Ladies, you had to teach a Bible class for the children. Or men, maybe you had to serve on the Lord's Supper this morning. And you're driving to church this morning, and there's a car wreck in front of you, and there's someone thrown from their car, and they're laying, and they're bleeding, and they're injured. Do you keep going and say, it's almost time. I mean, I'll be late for church. I can't stop and help. I'll miss church. See, obviously that priority would be wrong, wouldn't it? Because there are things such as mercy and kindness and compassion that take precedent. Are we minimizing the importance of worship? No, not at all. God commands it. But we're prioritizing things that are of greater value and concern when measured against something else. In Matthew chapter 18, there's that man that was forgiven so much. He owed 10,000 talents, and it's just an unthinkable amount of money. He could never in a thousand lifetimes pay it back, even if he paid everything of his paycheck. He couldn't pay it back. And he's forgiven. And then he goes down his way, and can you imagine how the weight that would be taken off? I'm forgiven. I don't owe anything anymore. I've been forgiven my debt. And there was a man that owed him just a little bit of money, and he would not forgive that man his debt. How can you not? How can you not show mercy to someone else when you have received so much yourself? James 2 and verse 13 says, if you want God to be merciful to you, you better learn how to be merciful to others. That's the point. Listen, I'm glad you're here today. It's where God wants you to be. You're doing the right thing by worshiping. But if you think that worship will excuse your lack of mercy and compassion on your fellow man, if you think that by faithfully assembling together, we have somehow removed obligations that I don't have to pick up and do through the week, that if you think that by coming here, we can drive past people and leave them in their harm's way, you've misunderstood the priority of Jesus. Jesus says, be merciful. Let's major in that this week. Let's go out and look for ways and to make that not something that we do, but something that we become. It's just who we are. We are going to be people who are merciful. We're just good to other people and kind and compassionate, because that's something Jesus calls us to major in. Here's the second thing, though, in this passage, verse 6. He said, and I also desire the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Wow, that just slaps people in the face today. Because we think it's different. We feel justified if we go to church, regardless of where we are in a spiritual plane. I punched my ticket today. I went to church. Have I grown closer to God? Well, I don't know. Do you know more about God this week than you did? No, I don't think I opened my Bible this week. God said, I desire knowledge of me more than, in their terms, burnt offerings. Our terms would be coming to worship. We do it exactly the opposite. As long as I go to church, I'm good. I'm a faithful member of the church. And don't we sometimes even measure faithfulness by, well, how many times do they go to church each week? Faithfulness. That can be a sign of faithfulness, but there are more important and more critical ways to measure that than just going to church. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says, we're to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Have you been doing that? I've been going to church every week. I know that. But have you been growing in knowledge of Jesus Christ? I don't miss a time. I mean, I'm really good. In fact, I'll tell my boss I won't even do overtime because it'll affect my church attendance. That's great. But are you growing in knowledge? You see, we place priority on attendance and being here when God said, that's good, but you know what I want more than that? I want you to know who I am. I want you to come to a knowledge of me, and I don't know that that's what we're majoring in. How much have you learned about Jesus and about God and about his will for your life that you didn't already know? I mean, what this year, we've gotten halfway through 2015. Is there anything that you learned about God this year or his will, word, that you didn't know before? If not, why? Could I say maybe, well, it's because I really don't study much at home. I bring my Bible to church, And I hear those lessons that I've heard ever since I was a kid. You see, you're just hearing the same thing you already knew oftentimes. But are you growing? Are you learning more? Oftentimes, that will come through personal study. That'll come through sitting down and meditating on the Word of God and thinking about it and mulling it over in your mind and seeing insights that maybe you've missed before. But if we don't spend that time in his word, our knowledge doesn't grow. Can you tell me what the book of Obadiah is about? How many books in the Bible? 66. How many in the old? 39. 27 in the new. We got that down. We got that memorized. Okay, now tell me something about those books. What's Obadiah about? What's the book of Nahum about? Tell me what it is that Amos talked about. Well, I don't know. I believe in the Bible. I believe it's the inspired word of God. You do? Yes, absolutely, I do. Have you really even read it? Well, not all of it. But I've gone to church. Do you see what I'm saying? Who was Demetrius? Who was Agabus or Simeon? Who was Athaliah? These are all people that the Bible talks about, and there are stories that are built around them. And yeah, I've heard those names, but I couldn't tell you. I don't know. Then let's learn. What was on television last week? What was the score of the ball game last night? What was the latest in whatever series it is that you're watching? We can talk about that. Who's ahead in the British Open this week? Who's in first place? I can tell you that. Do you see the point? We need to be majoring in coming to a greater knowledge of God. When we don't prioritize times that we have to assemble together, to worship, to study together, Sunday and Wednesday, and whatever other opportunities that we may have, we're betraying. We're telling that we've majored in minors. We're telling that we had the wrong focus. God calls us to the weightier matters. Jesus was rather frank with some religious people who didn't have that right. They had external forms right, but their heart was wrong. And Jesus had to call them out on it and say, listen, keep your tithing up. That's a good thing. But don't neglect mercy, justice, and faith. And so that's what I want to leave you with this morning and call you to these two weightier matters, mercy and knowledge of God. And let's change if we need to change some things. It's not enough. And the two examples that he gives us in Hosea 6 and verse 6 of things that are of lesser are the worship thing, you know, coming together, offering the burnt offerings. He said, those are not the things that are, what I want you to do is have mercy, and I want you to have a greater knowledge of me. Keep coming to church. I'm not saying stop doing that. That's a good thing. We're commanded to do it. We get tremendous benefits from coming together. It is a good, right thing to do. But don't let that be the sum total of your Christianity. And if it is, you've missed the most important things, the weightier things. Let's go out this week in our communities and go to our jobs, and let's show kindness. Let's be merciful to people. Let's look for opportunities where we can do good for other people in the name of Jesus. Let's open our Bibles and study. You know, a few years ago, and I think I told you this, but we it's so easy to pass by opportunities, but if we think and look for them, we'll see them. My son was to get his driver's license. We got in line. He passed the test, and he's so excited. And we go down, and we're going to pay, and we're in line. And there was this girl in front of us, and she was elated because she passed her test. And she was just talking to my son. They went to school together, and she was so just like 90 mile an hour, you know, because she was so excited. And she got up there, and the woman started saying, is your name such and such? Do you live at such and such? And she was going, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. She was just so excited. Yes, ma'am. And she said, okay, that'll be $12. And she went, $12? I didn't know this was going to cost anything. And she started reaching around. She pulled stuff out of her pocket, and she had a couple dollars, and she didn't have 12. And there I stood. So you know what happened? I did nothing. I let that poor girl, as excited as she was, leave that line and drive all the way home and come all the way back to pay $12 when I had it in my wallet and I could have done it for her. And imagine what would have happened if I had paid it for her. Thank you, thank you. And she would have gone home and told her mom and dad, I got up there and they wouldn't give it to me. I had to have $12. And Mr. Higginbotham, you know, the preacher down there at the church, he paid for it for me. And, but no. I was just thinking about myself. Hey, we get closer to the front now. You know, she's out of the line. That's some mercy, isn't it? You see, there are ways, there are times, there are things that look for those opportunities when you're standing in Walmart line. You know, look for it when you're in the grocery store. Just ways to be kind. And you know how those cashiers must take grief from so many people? When you go up there, compliment them, say something kind to them, thank them, you'll make their day. Those are the kind of things that Jesus say are weightier matters in the law. Learn to show mercy and kindness. And let's learn more about God, because the more I know about Him, the more I fall in love with Him. And the easier it is to do the things that He calls me to do that are hard because of that relationship. So let's go out. Let's serve God and serve Him not only in those minor matters, but let us serve Him in those weightier matters. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a child of God, I want to encourage you to obey the gospel. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you haven't done that, do that this morning. And if you're a child of God and you want to make your life right, maybe there's been sin and people know about it and you want to come clean, we'll pray for you. Maybe you just need prayers for strength, for struggles going on in your life. We'll pray with you if you'll come as we stand together and sing.